Amen. One of the most sober realizations of men who are conscious of the truthfulness of God's word is the realization that each of us has to eventually give an account of how he has lived his or her life. It is a very sobering and serious thing to contemplate the reality of our being summoned before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of how we have lived our lives. Romans chapter 12, rather chapter 14 and verse number 12, that was read a few moments ago. And let's just read verse number 11 along with it. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. A similar message is given in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Let's read verses 9 through 11. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson this evening, a single word. The single word is the word responsibility, which is defined as the condition, quality, fact, or instance of being responsible, answerable, accountable, or liable. Responsible is defined as expected or obligated to account for something or to someone. Answerable, accountable. It is further defined as trustworthy, dependable, reliable. In a very broad way of speaking, it can be accurately and meaningfully affirmed that individual human beings have responsibilities and obligations to God. Individuals have responsibilities and obligations to their fellow man. And we must not lose sight of the fact or fail to appreciate the vital significance of recognizing that each individual person has responsibilities and obligations to himself. Sometimes while traveling through this world of sorrow, as we travel, sometimes we see signs saying, "Travel at your own risk." It warns the traveler of his responsibility. The journey of life is similar. Each travels at his own risk. I am the responsible party, not others, not circumstances. I have my own life to live. And I am the one accountable for the way I direct it. I am accountable for my mistakes and my failures. Life's road has its flashing lights of green, amber, and red. There are crossroads, and here and there you'll find forks in the road, sharp curves, dead ends, rocks and holes, dust and mud. But I'm still responsible for my pilgrimage. I'm still responsible for the road I travel in life. One of the things I've noticed of late, and I'm sure you have as well, and sometimes they are just about impossible to avoid altogether, I've noted a number of potholes in our roads, on the interstates and on side streets. I was listening to a newscast not too long ago, and one of the things they said was, we have a lot of potholes, and TDOT is trying to have them repaired as fast as they can. And they said, if your vehicle should be damaged by your running into a pothole or across a pothole, you can make an application to the state and they will reimburse you for damages incurred, provided you can prove that your damage was the result of running in the pothole. That might be a rather difficult task. I try to avoid the potholes as much as I can. I try to avoid any kind of dangerous obstacle or object in the roads. One day I was coming along the street, a wreck had just taken place. There was a sharp, long piece of metal that I didn't see until I was right up on it. It punctured my tire, and my tire went flat within a matter of 15 seconds. I lost about 3 hours calling AAA and having them to come and to told me to get another tire. But I couldn't blame the folks who had the wreck. I had to take responsibility for it. But I was happy since I had the hazard protection on those tires. The folks at Hendersonville Tire put a brand new tire on and said, "Mr. Jones, you're ready to go." They took responsibility for my loss because I took responsibility to purchase the hazard coverage. When I bungle in my journey, there's nothing to gain in trying to shove the responsibility for misdirection on someone else, as did my early parents, Adam and Eve. The woman said in Genesis 3:12, when she was called to account, "The serpent beguiled me and I did eat." The snake is at fault. He's the one who's responsible. Adam said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." She did it, but each was responsible. We have an uncanny and universal ability to try to evade and deny responsibility, but we are responsible regardless. Time could not rub out the deed done by our mother and father, Adam and Eve. What was done, and the penalty had to be paid. You are in charge of your own life. In a very real sense, you are the master of your fate, and you are the captain of your soul. You have the responsibility to live life and to be in control, to be at large and in charge of your life. Shouldering responsibility is a sign of maturity. Irresponsibility is immaturity. Some people reach maturity in behavior sooner than others. Some early, while others, it seems, never do. 1 Corinthians 13:11, Paul says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Let George do it is the shiftless philosophy of irresponsible people. How much better it would be to volunteer yourself in the language of Isaiah 6:8, "Here am I, send me." Not "Here am I, send Zolly." Not "Here am I, send Clifton." Be willing to take responsibility yourself. The story is told about a storm that blew up in the middle of the night, and the windows were up in the house where several people were staying. A wife who lived in that house punched her husband and said, "Don't you think we should get out of bed and put the windows down?" He whispered back to his wife and said, "If we lie still and play asleep, maybe somebody else will get up out of their beds and put the windows down." So you can either play sleep or be responsible in life. The call is for responsibility in Ephesians 5:14. "Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead." There are some solemn demands that are made of us as responsible beings made in the image of God. Man, an answerable and accountable being, is responsible for a number of things. I'm just going to enumerate a few of them. Man is responsible for his livelihood. If he doesn't provide it, according to 1 Timothy 5:8, he is worse than an infidel. Man is responsible for his way of handling the Bible. If he adds to it, subtracts from it, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. If he subtracts from it, if he adds to it, God will add the plagues that are detailed in the book of Revelation. So man is responsible for how he handles the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing," or handling aright, "the word of truth." Man is responsible for his own salvation. Peter told the inquiring multitude in Acts 2:40, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Man is responsible for the use of his ability, for the use of the talents with which God has blessed him, for the use of his skills and the use of his knowledge and the use of his understanding with which God has endowed him. Man has responsibility. You know, that's a lesson for adults. That's a lesson for youth as well. God makes us responsible. You have to bear the responsibility for yourself. You have to bear responsibility, young people, for yourselves when it comes to how you utilize your time and your abilities and your skills in school. See, mama can't write your essays for you. Mama can't take your tests for you. Mama can't take the TCAPS for you. Mama can't take the SAT for you. Mama can't take the ACT for you. You have to do that for yourself. Mama can encourage you. Mama can motivate you. Mama can provide an environment where you are stimulated intellectually and spiritually, but in the final analysis, you have to be responsible for yourself. Peter Dale Winbrow Sr. wrote a poem some years ago that is very sobering. It's entitled, "The Man in the Glass." When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. You may be like Jack Horner and chisel a plum and think you're a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please. Never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end, and you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. What the message is, if we fail to live in a responsible and an answerable and an accountable way, we'll be cheating ourselves. We are responsible for the use of our abilities. You remember the parable of the talents, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. A man, when he went into a far country, before he left, he entrusted three servants with a certain number of talents. And he distributed those talents in keeping with their ability commensurately to handle and manage those talents. He gave to the first servant how many talents? Gave him five. To the second servant, he gave how many? Gave him how many? Two. Was it four? No, it was two. No, he gave the first one five. the second one, two, the third one, one. Now, who were the responsible servants? And Stephen Covey says that in a very real sense, responsibility means, in a sense, your ability to respond to the demands and obligations that are placed upon you. Jesus knew that the man with five talents had the ability to respond to the challenge to manage those five. The Lord knew he had commensurate ability with five talents. He knew the same thing about the one with two. He knew the same thing about the one with one. He didn't give the five-talent man one talent, and he didn't give the one-talent man five because he knew he did not have the ability to manage five, but he did have the ability to manage one. He had the ability to respond to the challenge that was presented to him by being given a certain number of talents. The man with the five was responsible, gained five more. The man with the two was responsible, gained two more. The man with the one was irresponsible. He was not responsible. He didn't take care of business. And he, when his master returned, was soundly condemned, referred to as a wicked and as a slothful, a lazy servant. It was mandated that he be cast into outer darkness. He commended the first two because they were responsible. "Well done," he said to each of them, "thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many." Take the one talent from the wicked and irresponsible servant and give it to the man who has five, who had increased his to 10, so he now has 11. We are responsible for what we do with our opportunities. Galatians 6:10, "as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good." You know, I'm not responsible for doing good for you. You're responsible for doing good for yourself. We are responsible for our debts. Romans 13:8 says, "owe no man anything but to love one another." We're responsible for contracts. Covenants are not to be flagrantly broken and violated. Romans 1:31. We're responsible for our word. Ecclesiastes 5:5. "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow or promise than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." Your word should be your bond. And if you say a thing, you're responsible to stick with it. You are obligated to stick with it. And if you're trustworthy, if you are reliable, you'll keep it. We are responsible for our deeds. "Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's no need to sow wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. God is not mocked. "Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap as well." All of this adds up to the fact that a responsible person makes a living, correctly handles the Bible, seeks salvation, uses his ability, takes advantage of his opportunities, is concerned about others, is cautious, pays his debts, honors his contracts, keeps his word, and watches his deeds. And what a life this makes. If you are saved or lost, it will be because of what you have done, how you have lived. Not your mama, not your papa, not your brother or your sister, not your husband or your wife, but you have the responsibility for living your own life in a mature and positive fashion, such as will eventually lead to glory in heaven after a while. If you are here and you're not a Christian, you can become one this evening. Nobody can obey the gospel for you. You're responsible for obeying it yourself. If you are here and have not become a child of God, become one tonight through belief in the gospel of Christ and belief in Jesus as the Son of God, and through repentance of sins, through confession of faith in Christ as the Son of God, and through baptism in water for the remission of sins. Nobody can do that. Nobody can, notwithstanding the Mormon teaching of baptism by proxy, nobody can be baptized for you. You have to be baptized for yourself. Nobody can obey God for you. You must obey the Lord for yourself. If you're here and you are already a child of God but have become unfaithful, you can take corrective measures this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer. Your husband can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Nor can your mama or your daddy, your son or your daughter, your brother or your sister. You have to take those remedial measures yourself through repentance, confession, and prayer. You can be restored and you can rededicate your life to the Lord. We trust that you'll do the responsible thing and obey the Lord even now as we together stand and as we sing.
One time we'll stand before the judgment of the quick, the risen dead. The Lord will then make known our record, that our name will all be read. We'll all be present when the roll is called, as spotless to the crimson blood. I will answer when he calls my name. I'll be saved through Jesus' blood. Will I be present when the roll is called pure and spotless?
Certainly, we've enjoyed the message coming from Brother Jones this evening. We come to this part of our service as we as Christians, that we're to give to the Lord as we have prospered upon the first day of the week. For those that was not here this morning, this opportunity is for you at this time. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day that you have given unto us to come together again and worship you in spirit and in truth. We're so thankful to God that you have granted us with the opportunity that we have to give to you a portion that you have given to us, and we pray that our giving will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page number 24.